God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. So anytime there is a conflict between warring nations, you have to stop and consider who is the greatest enemy, who is the most dangerous enemy. As the people of Israel came into Canaan, there were walled cities, there were giants, there were many obstacles, there were many enemies, and yet the greatest enemy was within. You think about Achan, the sin of Achan, and how that ruined the chances of Israel to take Ai later on because of disobedience. Israel's greatest enemy oftentimes was Israel itself. And I say that because Canaan could not stop Jehovah. Canaan could not stop God, and yet God's people stopped God's people. In Joshua chapter 17, the Bible talks about the allotting of the land given by God to the nation of Israel. And verse 13 says, "Yet it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute, but did not utterly drive them out." Now later, these same Canaanites would take rule over Israel and subjugate them into some sort of slavery. So the truth is, sometimes the hardest decisions to make are the easiest to live with, and the easiest decisions to make are the hardest to live with. It's an easy decision. Hey, they're going to fight us if we push things. We'll just leave them alone. Well, that's an easy decision to make, but it wrought heartache for them for many years to come. On the other hand, sometimes you make a hard decision and it's easier to live with. So for instance, we've talked about this before, which is an easier decision to make, a cookie or something that's healthy? Well, the easiest decision to make would be a cookie. What is the easiest decision to live with? A diet of cookies or a diet that is healthy? And the answer is obviously, when I make the hard decision to do the right thing now, it makes it better and easier for my life. So these people did not drive the Canaanites out. And in verse 14, the children of Joseph, this was two tribes, specifically Manasseh and Ephraim. And by the way, Joshua was of this family. He was of the tribes that came from Joseph. The children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, "Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto?" So they were fighting Joshua because they wouldn't fight Canaan. And then Joshua answered them. This is a wonderful answer. If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. If you don't like the land you've gotten, chop down some trees and make some room. And notice he calls this mountain Mount Ephraim after the tribe in question. This was called Ephraim by anticipation. Joshua was essentially saying, look, God has given you this land, but you have to actively trust God and take action. And the children of Joseph said, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron." Basically, they were presenting a problem. They had no answer. You say, take the mountains. Well, Joshua, there are trees there. You say, take the valley, but they have chariots down in the valley. We can't do what needs to be done. So in essence, these people were sabotaging themselves. You might call this passive sabotage, ruining things from the inside out, but doing it not so much by the action they took, as by the action they would not take. This was passive sabotage. You know, passive aggressive, it's, to take the definition in part of my Merriam dictionary on my phone, it's displaying behavior that's characterized by an expression of negative feelings, resentment, and aggression in an unassertive, passive way. You can do this through procrastination. You can do this through stubbornness. And in the case of the tribes that came from Joseph, they were both procrastinating obedience to God, and they were expressing stubbornness. So what do we learn from this? What we learn from this is we justify failure when we shift blame. Instead of saying, we're going to obey God and trust God, they said, we are waiting for Joshua to do something. We're waiting for God to do something. We're not going to do what we should do. Friend, I don't know what kind of obstacles you have in your life today, but your greatest power is obedience to the will of an omnipotent God. Were the giants? Were the enemy? Were they too great for the sons of Joseph? You could argue that they were, but they themselves said, we're a great nation. What did they do instead of following God? They asserted their rights. Hey, one portion's not enough for us. They asserted their greatness. We are great people. They invoked God. God has blessed us. They asserted the impossibility of what they were being told to do. We can't take the mountains. They have trees. We can't take the valleys. They have chariots. And in short, they did not obey God. Today, look, obedience will accomplish more for you than any amount of power that you can muster. God is omnipotent and God is omniscient. And so when I submit to God, I have access to the all-knowing, all-powerful God who commands me. So today, instead of giving all the reasons you can't do what you should do, instead of giving all the reasons someone else is to blame for you're not doing what you should do, remember that your greatest power is obedience to the will of an omnipotent God, and that we justify failure when we shift blame.